Let me give you the financial markets landscape for this Friday. S&P futures are sitting at roughly 7,762 this morning, essentially flat, up about 0.09%, which suggests markets are in a wait-and-see posture ahead of what's shaping up to be a consequential September. The macro backdrop has multiple pressure points.
The JP Morgan yen warning is one I want to spend time on because it's the kind of risk that builds quietly and then resolves loudly. JP Morgan is flagging $103 billion in yen short positions that become vulnerable to forced unwinding if dollar-yen falls below 155. Yen carry trades, where investors borrow in low-interest rate yen and invest in higher-yielding assets, have been a structural feature of global markets for years. When they unwind, they do so quickly and across asset classes simultaneously, because the same pool of capital exits everywhere at once. We saw a version of this in August 2024. A repeat with $103 billion at risk is worth tracking carefully.
Fed Governor Waller's comment that the U.S. Treasury safety premium has vanished is arguably the most important financial statement of the week, and it's getting buried under everything else. The safety premium is the price investors pay to hold U.S. Treasury bonds specifically because they're considered the safest asset on earth, backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. If that premium has eroded, it means investors are no longer treating treasuries as categorically different from other high-quality sovereign debt. That's a structural shift in how the dollar-based financial system functions, and the implications for U.S. borrowing costs and global reserve status are significant.
The Canada trade war is entering a new phase with a very specific countdown. Canada's retaliatory tariffs on more than 700 American products take effect Monday, September 8, 4 days from now. Prime Minister Carney is simultaneously saying Canada is ready for a U.S. trade deal and preparing to impose those tariffs, which is a negotiating posture designed to signal strength while keeping the door open. Trump's response, warning that Canada's economy will collapse, is the maximum pressure countersignal. Neither side is showing flexibility, and the September 8th date is now the near-term flashpoint.
I want to do a quick curriculum corner here because the Canada trade situation, combined with the AI market dynamics and the broader economic policy landscape, keeps raising the question of market power and competition. Let me spend a moment explaining how antitrust law actually works in the United States, because it gets invoked constantly and often imprecisely. The foundation is the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890, over 130 years old, still the primary legal tool. Section 1 prohibits contracts or conspiracies that restrain trade. Section 2 prohibits monopolization. The key thing people get wrong, having a large market share is not, by itself, illegal. You can be a monopoly and be perfectly legal. What's illegal is acquiring or maintaining a monopoly through exclusionary or anti-competitive conduct, meaning you can't use your dominance to deliberately crush competitors in ways that harm consumers rather than just outcompete them legitimately. Think of it like a race. Winning the race is legal, tripping the other runners is not. A company with 70% market share that got there by building better products is generally fine. A company with 70% market share that got there by paying suppliers to refuse to deal with competitors, that's where the Sherman Act activates. It's a distinction that matters enormously for how we think about Google, Meta, Amazon, and the AI players.
The Venezuela oil deal adds another dimension to the energy picture. Chevron announced a $7 billion expansion in Venezuela, but UBS and Citi are both saying this won't affect U.S. oil prices for years. The time lag between investment and production is the key constraint. Venezuelan infrastructure is degraded. The political environment creates operational risk, and production ramp-up takes time even under ideal conditions. So the deal matters for Chevron's long-term position and for Venezuela's revenue, but it's not a near-term price lever for American consumers.
Meta shares surged after the company's AI chief claimed parity with Anthropic and OpenAI using the Muse Spark 1.3 benchmark. But the claim awaits independent verification, which is a pattern worth noting. A company announces benchmark parity, shares move, and independent verification comes later, if at all. The market is currently rewarding AI capability claims before they are verified, which creates both opportunity and risk. Goldman's compute oversupply warning and Meta's benchmark claim are in tension. If AI model capabilities are genuinely converging, if everyone is reaching parity, then the competitive moat for any single player narrows, and the infrastructure build-out that's already been committed becomes harder to justify economically.